following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hey guys, my name is David. I am the, it's one of our youth leaders right there. I'm the high school pastor here, which is why Dolan decided to yell at me in that moment. I love what I get to do here. I absolutely love it. I'm humbled to get to do what I do here. But on the nights or the mornings or the days or whenever there's an opportunity that's given to get to hang out with y'all and to open up the Word of God with you all, man, it's humbling, and I'm really excited to be here. I'll keep it at that. I was also told I have 25 minutes, which means one thing, I want to pray, because I got a lot I'm wanting to say. So Father, we just ask right now, God, that you, Father, would do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, would you move in ways that I could never possibly move? Would you do things, would you do God things, Lord? I pray for every single person that's here right now, full well knowing, God, that there's a mixed crowd. We got people that come here often. We got people, maybe they didn't even know they were coming tonight and they just heard music or saw a bounce house or whatever it is. Lord, I am so grateful that you've brought the people that are here tonight. So we just submit ourselves to you and we just ask in faith that you will move, Lord. So we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. If you guys have your Bibles, will you open them up to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. If you did not bring a Bible, phones, Bible app, Matthew chapter 6. And tonight we are going to be looking at verse 19 through 24. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24. I'm going to start reading from verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, show of hands, just so I can see who and what I'm working with right here. How many of you would say that you enjoy movies? You guys are movie people. It could be new movies, maybe Top Gun. I don't know. Who said that? I don't know. It could be older movies. Okay, so we have a good majority of you that enjoy movies. Now, let me go a little bit further. How many of you would say that you enjoy, I'm going to call it like the adventure, we'll call it slash treasure hunting genre. If it's not a genre, it's a genre right now. How many of you enjoy those kinds of movies? Yeah, you're high fives, my people. That's good. That's good. I'm talking about the Indiana Jones kind of movies. I'm talking about, okay, we got a couple up in front. Okay, all right. See you. Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm sure we have some, where are my Goonies people at? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's good. Here's the thing though. When I'm thinking about this category, whether it's made up or not, right? We're just assuming right now this is a legit category of movie. When I think of this category, there is truly only one movie that reigns supreme, dare I say dominates in this category. The movie National Treasure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, the myth, the legend, Nicolas Cage himself. Two of them, both of them awesome, right? Here's what I love about this movie, and really this is what I love about I'll just say the entire genre, the treasure hunting adventure genre of movies. You have these people. In the case of National Treasure, you have Ben Gates, right? And they have given everything in pursuit of this coveted treasure. I'm talking all their time, all their energy, all their resources, completely depleted in pursuit of this treasure. They give themselves daily for this treasure, to this treasure. They think about it, they talk about it, they dream about it, they study to know more about whatever this treasure is. Really, it's less of an obsession, and it's become more, not even just kind of like a part of them, but it's what they live for. Every one of these movies has this in common, right? We all know that line on National Treasure where he says he's going to steal the Declaration of Independence, right? And you get goosebumps, you high-five your friend, you're like, this is awesome. I can't believe you said that, right? He's willing to do anything, right? You think of Indiana Jones, and he's willing to take that step out into like the abyss, hoping that the ground is going to hold him, right? And he's making these decisions because he so badly wants to get to whatever this treasure is. These movies, although overly dramatic, which is why we probably continue to watch them, why I continue to watch them, they do a really good job of showing us a truth that Scripture affirms. It's this: people won't just give everything for what they treasure most, but what they treasure most starts to determine what they do. I'll say it one more time. People won't just give everything for what they treasure most, but what they treasure most starts to determine what they do. It starts dictating how they live, things they say, the choices they make, right? Every single one of these movies proves this and shows this over and over again. They want whatever this treasure is so badly, there is literally going to be nothing that will stand in their way. Why? Well, it's their treasure, right? I like how one commentator puts it. He says, we all have something we treasure above all else. Some will argue that they treasure many things: their children, their spouse, their country, their profession, and maybe God as well. And this may be true, but by definition, a person can have only one thing of ultimate concern. Whatever this treasure is, listen to this part. Whatever this treasure is, it will define our lives and it will determine our destiny. The idea, it defines us. Our treasure, my treasure, your treasure, whatever that is, it's not an obsession. It's not just something you think about. It defines us. It defines you and me. It will occupy our hearts and our minds fully. Because that's what treasure does, right? So what you and I treasure matters deeply, which is why Jesus would include it in his, well, many people would say his greatest sermon he ever preached, the one that we call the Sermon on the Mount. If you look again with me at our passage, verse 19, Jesus again, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So what's the implication here? What is Jesus getting at when he's saying this? Now, if we have already kind of identified that treasure is what you and I impute the most value to, then Jesus is stating that you and I should not impute our treasure values in what we're going to call tonight fool's gold. Fool's gold, right? On things that can never and will never deliver. Don't store up treasures on earth. And he gives a list, right? Where moths can come in and destroy. We went to my wife and I, it was either a party, it was a birthday party, and we got dressed up, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna wear this. It was like, you, like actually getting dressed up. I don't do that often. And I put on, I think it was like my dress pants. There's like holes in it. And I'm like, when's the last time I even wore these things, right? Like, what is going on? Don't store up treasures where moth can eat up or rodents can destroy or thieves and burglars can break in and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven. I want to put it this way, okay? In other words, if our treasure can be stolen, if it can be broken, or if it can be deleted, we have allowed our hearts and minds to be duped by fool's gold. R. Kent Hughes, he's a commentator, he's many things, laundry list of things that guy is, right? Pastor. He said it this way: if we want to know where the center of our being is at, like the very center of our being, where it's at, all we have to do is honestly admit where our treasure is. So if what you and I treasure most in life can be stolen, if it can be broken, or if it can be deleted, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to convey the same thing he was trying to convey to me, or not tried, but he totally did convey it to me, that maybe that's what's at the center of our worship might not actually be Jesus, but something else. Because what we treasure most in life, it reveals what our heart truly worships. This is the idea of verse 21. Look there again with me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, I kind of alluded to this, but the Holy Spirit did a number on me. I think it was like a week and a half ago. And it was on this. And it's funny. I think Chase was up here earlier, Pastor Chase, and he had assigned this this passage at the beginning of summer for me. And I read it, and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be so excited to teach this at the beginning of the summer. I was thinking that. And then like a week and a half ago, the Holy Spirit's like, I need to teach you again, or maybe teach you in a way that you need to learn again what this means, right? But I was confronted, and it is crazy how quickly we can allow what I'm calling fool's gold to take us away from the pursuit of the only treasure, again, that cannot be stolen, broken, or deleted. Jesus was once asked by a Jewish expert in the law. He was asked a question, what the greatest commandment was. And in the context, they were trying to trip Jesus up like they did, or like they tried to all the time. This is what Jesus says. This is in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus replies to them, or him, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord. And I know we have heard this, right? That's not new to many of you. It might be new to some, but it's not new to many of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other parts of Scripture, it also adds strength, right? So loving the Lord your God with your all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Meaning, with every part of us engaged in our worship of God, love him. Love him fully. And here's the reality. You and I cannot love God with every fiber of our being without him being our treasure. That's a fact. Because where our heart is, that's where our treasure is, right? So it's interesting in this, we know the love of the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Yes, Lord, yes. And sometimes we walk through life and our treasure is different. We're not able to do this. You and I cannot love God with every fiber of our being without having him be at the very center of who we are, without him defining who we are. Again, because verse 21, for where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Looking back at our text, Jesus continues to drive this point home further. Look with me at verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, maybe for a lot of us, as we read that passage, we're like, I don't really know how this fits in with treasure. We're talking about, I see something about a lamp in there. I see something about, like, what is going on, right? Well, Jesus is just further illustrating his point. He's going to do this again in verse 24 with another metaphor. But he wants us to have proper vision here. He wants us to see things for how they truly are. Using again the word or the term fool's gold, he wants us to no longer be bamboozled. I like that word. By the pursuit of fool's gold, right? But in order for us to have correct vision, our eye, which I guess you could say is even synonymous for like our condition or spiritual condition here, needs to be taken care of first. So let me just do this. Let's for a moment think the eye. When we hear that term eye in this text, let's assume that it means your windshield. The majority of you guys came, you drove your car here, right? And so when you get your car washed and you get the windows like real washed, I mean, they're real clean. And you're like, this is awesome, right? You drive and you're able to see everything, right? You're driving down the road. You see the people in front of you, hopefully, right? You see the people that are coming this way on the road. You're driving past Belaterra and you're like, Kohl's. You're like, oh man, I have a sweatshirt I haven't returned there and it's been like 6 years, you know? You're thinking whatever, right? Just driving past businesses. You see, you know, if you're my son, you're looking for like, there's a plane right there up in the sky. You're looking for that stuff and he loves that. You can see out of this windshield because it is clear. You have clear vision, right? Now let's just say you got your car washed and, you know, the Lord sees fit to have it start raining 15 minutes after. Some of us have been there. It's a ride, right? And we're driving and somebody kind of drives through a little puddle and it goes on our windshield and you're like, easy money, I'm just going to use my windshield wipers. And then you remember, oh, I haven't replaced those, right? And the rubber's fallen off. I know, come on, I know. I see some of you smiling. I know this is, I'm not alone on this one, right? And you're like, oh no. And then the mess just gets bigger, right? It just gets bigger. It makes a weird noise. You're like, oh, this is bad, right? And then it just gets messier. And guess what happens? Well, driving is a lot harder. I remember I had a car where I had to like roll down the window and like take like my cup of water and like pour it on the windshield. You know what I mean? Like I had to, like, it's just not clear anymore. The eye in this context, it's the window into our heart. So if our eye is good, then we are seeing the world around us accurately, meaning the way that God intends us to see, right? But if it's bad or if it's unhealthy, then the way we view everything will be wrong, tainted, or even dark. As scripture says, I like how one commentator, he just kind of sums this up. He says, Jesus used this metaphor to simply say the way you and I see the world around us is an indication of what is inside of us. I like how he did that, right? And this completely, again, ties to the idea of what you and I treasure most, because none of us will treasure Jesus the way we ought to if we don't see him as worthy of being at that center place in our entire lives, right? And not that Jesus needed to, but he wants to hit this point one more time. This is in verse 24 right here, just to make sure the dagger gets down a little bit deeper. And that's what I've really come to love about the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. There are times when you can read scripture and we can fool ourselves into thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so reads this, right? Sermon on the Mount is never so-and-so. The so-and-so is always you, right? You try to point the finger, it just pokes you back in the eye and you're like, dude, you can't escape these teachings, right? You cannot escape the Sermon on the Mount. So he wants to triple down on this idea in verse 24. And he says, listen, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Nobody here can serve two masters. It's not like, oh, hey, it's difficult to do that. You're going to have a hard time juggling it. Scripture says you cannot do it. We're not able to do it, right? My parents are, or I should say my dad, and then, so I guess my mom now, Lakers fan forever, right? It might be a little bit easier to not be as loud of a fan right now, but that's whatever. But he's been a Lakers fan his entire life. So it would almost be equivalent of somebody being like, I am a diehard Lakers fan from birth. I didn't choose it. It chose me, right? Laker life, whatever. And I'm all about it. And then at the same, like in the same breath being like, but my like Celtics all the way. And you're like, that's just not gonna, that doesn't fly. It doesn't work like that, right? The idea here is that whatever or whoever we serve has mastery over us. I would say lordship even. So there can't be two different things having lordship over us at the same time. Again, Jesus rightfully says then, either you will hate the one, love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So there's some questions we need to ask ourselves tonight. And I just pray as I pose some of these questions, number one, you understand and realize I am asking them myself, and I'm praying to God that I have a proper view of myself so I can, these questions are for us. Where does our heart's loyalty lie tonight, right now? Who or what has mastery over us? And I'm not asking who or what had, past tense, mastery over us in that season, at that time, a long time ago. I'm asking right now, you and I, who or what have we given ourselves fully to? And who or what are we serving with our lives? I think we sit with questions like that, and what happens oftentimes, if you're a knucklehead like myself, is you start getting uncomfortable. And you're like, man, Lord, I need you. And Jesus is like, yeah, well, I'm here still. I'm still here, you know? If our spiritual eyesight is good, we're going to see the world the way God desires for us to see it. We're going to treasure the right things up in our hearts. We're going to quickly understand that it's Jesus in Him alone that belongs in that spot. That He's far greater, far more worthy of the fool's gold we put up in the altar of our hearts. And when we treasure Jesus above all else, our loyalties will not be divided. We will be single-minded in a good way, right? I know some people kind of use that in like a, you're so single-minded in this way, but we almost become like this, just eyes so fixed on Jesus, right? Eye on the prize, sold out for Jesus. And what happens when we do that? I should say, what happens when God does that in us is we start becoming these Christians that are like the here am I, send me kind of Christians. I remember being at so many different points in my life and looking up to people and being like, God, like how do they get there? Like what are they doing? What kind of shakes are they drinking in the morning? How can I get it? Like, what are they doing? How do they get there? How do they get to be so bold? Why is their joy still there? They're dealing with stuff that's so much gnarlier than anything I've ever faced in my life, and the joy is undeniable. Non-believers are looking on and being like, what is going on with this guy? There have been so many times in my life, I'm like, God, I want that. I want that, right? And you know, not that I approached many of those specific people or see people that are so incredibly confident, but not in a prideful way. And I'm like, dude, where is that coming from? I remember this one woman, she had said that. She's like, you know, some people have come up to me and said like, hey, I'm confident. But she's like, I just know who my God is. Confidence, joy, all of that just comes from having Him being at the center of who you are. When He's at the center of who we are, we start to know who we are. It's amazing. We know who God is. And then again, we start living the open life. God, I am here. Send me. Send me wherever. Lord, to my neighbors. I don't know my neighbor's name or what, you know, or send me to my neighbors. Send me to my school, to my friends. Some of you recently probably have had like weird out of the blue opportunities to reconnect with like people way back in the day. And you're like, this is kind of crazy right now, right? Send me to those people, Lord. Send me to my kids, my grandkids, to my city, to the nation. God, just do what you want to do in my life because I am living for you. I'm living for you. Open-handed, I am completely yours. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your body, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what I want to do. If Lovekin is back there or back somewhere, I'm going to have him come back up. Lovekin's right here. Awesome. I'm going to have them come back up and sing one more song. And I want to pray for us. And I want to make something super clear. Less of me giving an opportunity tonight. I want us to be aware that it is God who gives the opportunities. And so I think we should just give place for the opportunity that I believe God wants to give every single one of us. So if you guys would bow your heads with me, I would just say, if anything has been making sense, meaning things have been clicking in your heart and mind, and if you're realizing that you have been pursuing after fool's gold, hoping it would deliver what it just simply cannot deliver, if you realize that somehow Jesus has been dethroned as your ultimate treasure by something lesser than him, and you sense God is revealing this to you, calling you back to himself, I want you to do something. I want you to raise your hand. And this isn't about the friend you came with, the family member that you came with. This is just between you and the Lord. Essentially, you raising your hand, you're saying, Lord, enough is enough. I don't want anything else at the center of my existence other than you. I want you to be everything to me once again. Again, if that is you, please stretch out your hand. Now, if you're here tonight and you realize that Jesus has never been your treasure, maybe when we started, you're like, this is weird. Why is this guy talking about national treasure? What is going on here? You realize that Jesus has never been your treasure. He's never been where your true loyalty lies. And you find yourself, or I should say, you find in yourself a desire to be his, to finally turn to him and give him what's left of your life, to say, Jesus, I believe. I believe in who you are. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you lived a perfect life. You died a death on the cross for our sins, and then you rose again from the grave, proving that you have all power and all authority. If you are realizing these things in your heart and mind right now, that's the Spirit of God telling you right now, come to Jesus. He loves you. He does not condemn you. He's waiting for you with open arms to forgive you completely of whatever it is that you've been holding on to. If that is you and you're realizing this for the first time, I want you to stretch out your hand right now. I want to lead you guys in a prayer. It's a simple prayer. There is really nothing magical, nothing mystical about it. Rather, it's the reflection and it's the cry of our hearts to our Creator, the one who loves us. So would you guys join me in prayer? And if you raised your hand, you guys could even repeat after me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short with my life. And I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask now that you would forgive me, that you would cleanse me, that you would renew me. Lord, I'm yours, and I'm all in. From this moment forward, be my God, be my Savior, and be what I treasure most in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to say this for those of you that stretched your hand out. Again, there's nothing magical about the prayer, but if you prayed that, you meant that from your heart. Scripture gives us this amazing promise in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 that says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so for those of you who meant that, raised your hand, I want to welcome you to the family of God. That is an amazing thing. Would you guys just join us real quick and just praise God? Yeah. Father, again, we thank you for this night, everything that this night stands for. Jesus, I'm so grateful for those you have drawn. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us again would have you at the very center of our lives, because you alone are worthy of it. We love you. We praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.